Amen. Praise the Lord for the special tonight. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Luke in chapter 7, where we're going to be starting here as we start our series on the life of John the Baptist. Luke chapter 7, we're going to be reading verse 24 down to verse 28. So if you'll stand with me tonight, once you find that, we'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you'll follow right along with me. Luke chapter 7. In verse 24, the Bible says, "And when the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John. What went ye out into the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are gorgeously appareled and live delicately are in king's courts. But what went you out for to see? A prophet. Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we come before you tonight, what a blessing it is. We thank you for this blessing of being in church. Thank you, Lord God, for each one that has been able to take advantage of their opportunity to be here. And God, as we have assembled in your name, thank you, Lord God, that we have the confidence of your presence here tonight. And Lord, I know that we are a needy people, and we want to continue to grow in our understanding and knowledge of your word and your will and your ways. And I pray tonight for all that are here that you'd give us each one that ear to hear exactly what you have for each one of us individually and collectively as a church family. I pray that you would empower me and use me once again to bring forth your message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. My grandchildren were in my office today, and I think their parents had told them that we was going to be starting a series on John the Baptist, and coming in, and they asked me, Who's John the Baptist? And I said, well, I want you to tell me, who do you think he is? We don't know. And, of course, Carter Blake started telling me some things he had been taught in Sunday school concerning John the Baptist. And he was right on target, amen? And so it was a blessing already, and just seeing what their anticipation of what was going to take place tonight. And, of course, Aubrey told me she couldn't understand my preaching. So, see, I can't understand the words you use. So that is the question. Who was John the Baptist? Before we study the actual life that God has recorded for us in the Scriptures to learn from, we have Old Testament that prophesied of John's coming, and then we have the actual conception and the birth of John and all the things that took place with his family and all what's happened in his life. What we can know and need to understand about the life of John the Baptist is written down, recorded for us in the Scriptures, and it's a blessing to have it there for us to be able to go to and be able to read anytime we have a desire to learn from the life of John the Baptist, just as we've gone through the life of Joseph, we went through the life of David and Jesus himself, the life of Christ, what a tremendous study that was, and the Apostle Paul. And these are there in the Bible all the time. And whenever we have a desire or a need to learn from that example that God has given to us, go and do a personal Bible study yourself on that character. Go back and reread. And I think that once you've gone through a study like we've gone through on each one of these Bible characters, when you go back yourself, the Holy Spirit's going to bring up things that He taught you through the preaching of the Word of God. And it just, it opens up a whole new way of help for us. And the Bible is that way, and it's there for us, and God has preserved it for us, and we can go to it at any time. The more knowledge we have of where to go to in the Bible and how to study and how to read the Bible, the more help it's going to be to us. But the Bible has been preserved by God for us. He knew that we would need the written down Word of God. And we have it. What a blessing. And so Wednesday nights we've been going through, been studying different life series. And we just got through with the life of Joseph. So now the life of John the Baptist. But before we go into what the scriptures that give us the actual account of the life of John the Baptist, we need to know what God has said about him. Once you know what Jesus, who was God manifested in the flesh, what Jesus presented about the life of John the Baptist, then when we go back and study, that's going to even add more to the study of the actual study of the scriptures of his life. Jesus, knowing that John, in this our text tonight in chapter 7, knowing that John would soon be taken up to glory, he knew that John had accomplished what God had John here in this world to accomplish. Now think about that. John's pretty much the same age as Christ was. 32 years. And he's getting ready to be sacrificed. He's getting ready to have his head cut off in prison for the testimony of Christ. And yet God worked through his life in such a way that Jesus reveals some things about him. None greater. And he accomplished great and mighty things for the cause of Christ. And so, the first thing I want to do is study what Jesus said about the life of John. There's two accounts. Luke's account right here. I want you to turn back now to Matthew's account. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11 adds a little bit more to it. Same scenario. It's when the disciples of John come to Jesus. John's in prison getting ready to be sacrificed, getting ready to be a martyr for the cause of Christ. He had finished what God had brought him to this world to do, the task that God had for his life. Now he was going to be glorifying God through the way that he would give his life, the testimony that he would have all the way up to when he would lose his life in this world, which is tremendous, because that helps us to see the kind of character, the kind of person that John was. In chapter 11, Matthew chapter 11 and verse 7, "And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John." Here again, "What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind. But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment. Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses." Almost identical there. "But what went ye out for to see? A prophet." Yea. That's what you went out to see. A prophet. "And I say unto you, and more than a prophet, for this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee." Written in the Old Testament laws, written in the Old Testament that John would come, this man, this forerunner for Christ. And so that's what Jesus is presenting to them. This has been in the Old Testament scriptures, preparing for the time when Christ would come and John would come. "For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messengers before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. I'm telling you what's spiritually taking place. The spiritual battles that were taking place before John came and when John came. Satan would have loved to have kept him from ever coming. He would have loved to have taken his life before God had used it as God wanted to use it. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. All Old Testament until John. Now we have the New Testament church age beginning. And so we find here that Jesus reveals some things to us and that are written down even to the disciples then to understand who this man John was. Now we're going to take our text tonight. We're going to continue to study here in Luke in chapter 7. So you might want to go back there. But in Luke in chapter 7 and verse 24 and verse 25, he asked the same question. What went ye out into the wilderness for to see? What was it that drew you out to the wilderness? Now, the ones he's talking to went and traveled into the wilderness to hear from John. It wasn't that John came to them first. We find that John was preaching in the wilderness, and all of those went to hear John. What was it that draw you, that calls you to want to travel as you might have traveled from wherever you live to church tonight? What was it? What is it that brings you to travel to come to church? Jesus is asking. He wants them to think about it. And of course, it's recorded for us to think about it as well. What was it about John that made you want to go hear this man? Because no doubt they had heard and from others that had heard and seen him. And those that had heard and seen him come back saying, man, you got to go there. You got to go hear this guy. You got to go experience the presence of God in that place. Amen? And so now Jesus addressing them and said, now let's go back here. It's been a few years, but what was it that led you to want to go and hear John preach? Now that's important because then he answers the question, what went you out into the wilderness for to see? The first thing that he asked the question concerning that would be a reed shaken with the wind. And the answer to that is implied, that's not why you went to go hear him. That's not why you got out and traveled all the way that you had to travel to hear John. It was not because he had a testimony that he was just tossed about like a reed, shaken with the wind. What John was not was a reed shaken with the wind. That's what Jesus is saying about the life of John the Baptist. That's not what drew you to him. That's not what led you to believe in me, Jesus says. That's not what led you to understand that God was doing a mighty work through the man John the Baptist, that God was bringing things about that was prophesied in the Old Testament, that God was doing a miraculous thing in our day and time. Not that John was presented in a testimony of one that was blown around and shaken with the wind. A reed that he's talking about here in that time and that place would have been a cane that I'm told and read about could grow up to 12 feet high. And the type of reed that it would be, it would stand straight if there was no wind. But as the winds would blow, if they would blow hard enough that it could lay completely down. If the winds were blowing hard enough. And as the winds would stop blowing, that it would stand back up. It was controlled by the winds. John would not waver in his belief. He would not waver in what he would preach. John was one that would say what needed to be said, no matter who was listening. He believed it's what everyone needed to hear because it was the truth. So Jesus is telling us, and as we look to the life of the John the Baptist, the first thing we find about the life of John the Baptist, he says what he wasn't. He was not a reed being shaken by the wind, which would be telling us today he was not a politician. You know what motivates a politician? Votes. He was not one that was going out and trying to get the votes of man. Because if you're out looking to get man's approval, then you're apt to say whatever man might want to hear. And so if the wind's blowing hard enough and I need to come all the way over here to get your vote, I'll come all the way over here. If it's blowing the opposite direction, I need to come all the way over here to get your vote and your approval, then I'll come over here just to get your vote. John was not a man that wavered in what he preached. John was not an entertainer, trying to figure out just what people liked so that I could present to them what they wanted to hear. Tickle their ear. Make them feel good. That wasn't John the Baptist. It was not his call. It was not an entertainer. Many of the seminars today that they go to, the church growth, what they are telling in order to grow a church, and their definition of a church would be different than my definition of a church in doing this, but you got to survey the area in which you're looking to start a church, establish a church, and find out just what the people are looking for in a church. And if you know what the people are looking for in a church, then you can produce whatever people are looking for, and you can grow a church. I don't believe John worked that way. I don't think he sent out a survey to find out what everybody really wanted him to preach on. What everyone really wanted in a church. This was the beginning of the church age, but that was already predetermined what the church was to be. And he knew that. He was not a car salesman. I'm just saying, he was not what Jesus said, a reed shaken with the wind. And these are some of the types that you see that are wavering all the time. A car salesman, they're working on commission. And he comes out there and he's going to have a smile on his face because he looks at you and sees a dollar bill. And if he can sell you this car, he's going to make commission. It doesn't make a sale, he's not going to make commission. And so he's going to put the biggest grin on his head. Don't you? People don't know that you can tell when it's a fake smile. I don't know about you. Fake smiles just kind of do something negative to me, I think. He was not a car salesman. He was not a hireling. That means he wasn't in it for just the job, just the paycheck. And I would hope that there's not a person on staff of this church would ever think of this position that you have on this church staff as being a paycheck. I believe we have the example of John the Baptist to be able to look to, especially if you're on staff, if you are full-time and serving the Lord. You have the example of John the Baptist, and what Jesus said about him would mean that he was not a hireling. It was not just a paycheck. It was an opportunity for him to accomplish what God had given him to accomplish. And every pastor needs to look at himself and see John as far as his determination to accomplish what God has him on this planet Earth to accomplish. And not to look at himself as a hireling. Can I tell you, there should not be a parent that sees themselves as a hireling. Learn from John the Baptist. God's given you a job. If he's given you children, he's given you a job to do for him. You're not a hireling. John would not waver, be tossed around by the blowing of the wind of this world. Praise the Lord for those who have stood like John stood for some 2,000 years. That remnant that Christ has always had on planet Earth that would stand for his messages. That's why we have this church here today. That's why we have Christianity in the world today. True Christianity, because there have been people in the past that have stood as John stood. Starting with John the Baptist, Jesus Christ, the 12 apostles, the early church that we're studying in Sunday morning Sunday school. And the church, the true church from that point forward. James chapter 1, we find that the Bible helps us to understand this is God's will for our lives. This is how that we ought to stand today as individual believers, as well as the church, but as individuals believers. And that's what God blesses, true Christianity. James chapter 1 and verse 6. But let him ask in faith, just asking for wisdom. Said, you can have it, I'll give it to you, but you have to believe that I can give it to you. Have to trust that I have the wisdom that you need. Amen? Then he says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. That's exactly what Jesus was saying about John the Baptist. He would not waver. He would not let the winds of this world toss him to and fro and blow him about to be able to agree with and do whatever the world would want him to do. No, he stood. And the Bible says that this was John's life. Nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. That is not God's will for us to become politicians or entertainers or car salesmen or hirelings when it comes to the work of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. If Satan can keep you double-minded or not certain about what you want to do or how you want to live or who you want to serve, and you keep wavering back and forth, you're going to be unstable in all your ways. John was not a reed. He was not. Then what John must have been? If he's not a reed, then he would have to be the opposite of that. He would have to be as a pillar. Or a tree. John was God's servant, and he knew it. From the account that you will see in the life of John the Baptist, his testimony that God has recorded for us, and we're going to see it and we're going to follow it all the way through. Everything that God has revealed to us about John the Baptist, we're going to get into it, and we're going to delve into it, and we're going to study it in the Gospels, in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. There's much there. But the thing that we're going to find as we study the life of John the Baptist, he was God's servant and he knew it. If you're saved, you're not your own anymore. Spirit of God dwells within you. It's not your life. It's a life of Christ living through us that will bring you the greatest joys, the unimaginable peace of mind, the greatest comforts in the midst of the darkest storms of life. We can get focused on that when we can truly understand the spiritual implications as well as the physical implications of being a John the Baptist. I believe Psalms chapter 1. Go there with me. It helps us. I believe this was John. This is what God wanted the nation of Israel to sing and to understand this in the beginning of the book of Psalms in chapter 1. Psalms is God's revelation of truth to the nation of Israel, the children of God, that he wanted them to sing and to be influenced by as they traveled through the wilderness of life. And the very first psalm, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, not a reed, but a tree that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." God's going to bless that. "And the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff," or the reed, "which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Wow. John was more like that pillar, or that tree. A pillar like Daniel. A pillar like the three Hebrew children. The winds blew hard. They were facing death. They were facing great persecution. And they stood. Daniel chapter 3, verse 16 and 18, a very well-known passage of Scripture, you know, but I mean, just one to rehearse, just understanding this. Daniel chapter 3, verse 16. The Bible says, "And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king," the winds were blowing hard, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve, our God in whom we serve God. I'm going to stand where God wants me to stand. I'm going to say what God wants me to say. I'm going to be the servant that God's planted me on the earth to be. Save me for a purpose. He leaves me here for a purpose. We serve The God in whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, we don't let the wind blow us over. We're not reeds. O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. That's what they were saying. We're not reeds. That's what Jesus was saying about John. He's not a reed. Over in the book of John, or Daniel, chapter 6, in verse 10, as Daniel was faced with some very powerful winds, he was being attacked by those who envied him. They set him up. Made a decree. You continue to live, to serve God, you're going to be thrown into the lion's den. Wow. Would that cause us to bend over a little bit? Would that cause us to let the wind of this world change our stand? This is what Daniel said. And when Daniel knew that, when he knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, his windows being open, in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Daniel said, I'm not a reed. I serve God. I know how God wants to work through me. What Jesus is telling us about John the Baptist, before we ever get into our study, oh, what a powerful, powerful testimony he had. John the Baptist was God's servant, and he would not lose sight of it. Throughout his life, as we'll study, he would not lose sight of that. Too many allow too many things to hinder their faith and their service to God. Sometimes as a pastor, you feel like you're walking on eggshells. Sometimes as parents, you feel like you're walking on eggshells. And yet what we need to do is realize it's already settled what God wants us to be. It's already settled what's right and what's wrong. We just got to stand where God wants us to stand. Too many are looking a lot of little things, and they allow these things to hinder their faith and their service. In the church, disagreements with others, getting unpleasant looks, unpleasant comments, and somebody that knows that God wants them in a ministry because somebody hurt my feelings or somebody looked at me wrong or somebody said something, we had a disagreement, and so because of that, I'm not going to serve anymore. Possibly even I'm not even going to come back to that church anymore. You have to know that God's planted you where you're at. You have to know you're doing what God wants you to do. Stop looking at the winds. Stop letting the winds determine your faith and your service to God. The winds are going to blow. There's going to be bad look. There's going to be disagreements. There's going to be some comments that are going to be unpleasant. Probably inappropriate. Shouldn't have been made. The winds are going to blow. Need to stand like a John the Baptist. Lack of recognition. Now, praise the Lord. We don't see a whole lot of that here at all. People have to continually have the pat on the back, have to continually be recognized for everything that they do, or they won't do it. We don't do it for recognition. We do it because I know my faith, I know that God has a purpose for my life, and this is what God has me here to do, and I'm going to serve the Lord. Whether you recognize what I do or not, I'm not doing it for man's recognition. I'm doing it as unto the Lord. Amen. Some even quit because of persecution from doing the right thing. Well, preacher, I did the right thing and I stood up and now I've lost all my friends or I've lost this. You didn't really have them as a friend if they disconnected with you because you did the right thing. Amen. But they'll get discouraged because of a persecution and they were actually doing the right thing and they get persecuted for it. Listen to me. You did the right thing because God told you it was the right thing. And you stood for what was right because you're a Christian. Don't get confused. Let the winds determine your faith and your service. Ephesians in chapter 4. And we're just about done here. Let me close here. But Ephesians in chapter 4. John. Can you imagine all the things? We're going to study all the things that happened to John, and yet he knew who he was, why he was here, what his task was, and who he served. He was God's servant, and he knew it. Paul addresses some of this in Ephesians in chapter 4. In verse 14, he says, that we henceforth be no more children. I can understand children with their lack of understanding of the world, and all they have is their little place in this earth and their toys and their friends. And when something messes that up, I can understand them maybe throwing a fit or what. They're there to be raised and trained and taught. But spiritually, children need to grow up. Spiritually, children of God need to realize it's a much greater thing than me getting my feelings hurt. It's a much greater cause than for me to let somebody negative comment or off the wall type of a glare or that persecution to let that keep me from accomplishing what God has me here to accomplish. Better look beyond our little playhouse and our little body of friends and see a bigger picture of the world and eternity. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. Don't be the reed. Don't allow those things to affect you in what God has called you to do. And carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. That's exactly how Satan works. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Realizing the bigger picture. John understood the bigger picture. And he'll say, he must increase, I must decrease. I'm not here to glorify John. I'm not here to be offended. I'm not here as a politician. I'm not here as an entertainer. I'm not here as a hireling. I'm here with a purpose that God's given me to serve Him. He's not a reed. Neither should we be. The theme of John the Baptist that we're going to take throughout this life is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we'll close right here. This is it. This is, when you think of John the Baptist, this is a theme of John's life. As we go through this series, as we go through this study of John the Baptist, it's going to bring us back to this right here. the theme of this study. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, saved. If you're saved, if you're not saved, life of John the Baptist isn't going to make much difference to you. It's not going to help you. But if you're saved, therefore, my brethren, beloved brethren, be as steadfast. The thing about John the Baptist that stands head and shoulders above everything else, steadfast. Unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain if it's in the Lord. If you continue to focus on God's will for your life. Everyone that's saved needs to understand you're God's servant and know it. John the Baptist realized he was sent by God. He had a job to do, and he knew it. He would not allow the winds of this world to affect his stand for Christ. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. Be as steadfast. If we would commit to that, can I tell you, if you truly commit to that, that would make a change in your own life. It would make a huge difference in your family. It would make a difference in the church. And ultimately, it'll make a difference in the cause of Christ in this church age. The testimony of John the Baptist wasn't a reed. He was one who was steadfast. Invitation time is an opportunity to make a decision that God might want you to make for Him. Not going to have a public invitation as far as a musical invitation, but there's always an invitation if God spoke to you. There's something that you need to commit to tonight. Don't put it off any longer. God spoke to you. That's why we're in church. I preached the message concerning the life of John the Baptist. It's exactly what Jesus said about him. We're going to continue. There's more there that Jesus reveals about the life of John. But the first thing that he reveals about the life of John that we need to look to and be helped by and follow after is his steadfastness. His steadfastness. Are we steadfast? Anyone else? Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord God, for the truth of your word. Thank you for the insight that you have given to us concerning the life of John, even before we get into the study of the life of John. I pray, God, that this would be something that we would desire to be steadfast. As we have a desire for this, be able to now look at his life and be able to glean from it and learn from it and be blessed by it. I pray, God, that you'd just continue to work in our midst, have your will and your way in our lives, in this church, that we might continue to stand where you'd have us to stand and accomplish what you have us here to accomplish. As we get ready to dismiss tonight, I pray that you'd watch over us, get us all home safely, bring us back at the next appointed hour. In Jesus' name.